That area had never known rain. That area had never had a rainbow. The earth that then was different. That water above, whatever it was, I think it was a canopy, it broke open and the water burst upward. No ordinary rain occurred, and they'd never had rain any time in the history of mankind. Now, Dillo proves that just calculating how many inches of rain it would take per hour for the number of days and number of nights to flood the earth. No way. Rain as we know it didn't do it. He also proves some other things as he deals with the canopy theory, such as cut the sun out and have a canopy shield up there. Carbon-14 dating goes banana boats at a different rate. You got to have the sun and the atmosphere as it now is for carbon-14 dating to work. The rates change. They work back to the flood. But on the other side of the flood, if there was a canopy there, now, there ain't nobody ever been around that's still here that can tell you what different ratio was working for carbon-14 dating when the canopy was there. That's all, that's Dillo. Different subjects. Otto Muck, you ought to read. But this is an interesting little book, The Bible and the Bermuda Triangle. Last night, I made people so mad as I started something, and we couldn't get into it, which is, I must apologize, I seldom do anything like that. I'll even show you a picture. I went and hunted my library to find the book, Bible and the Bermuda Triangle, by George Johnson and Don Tanner. The Neurals, sister ship to the USS Cyclops, is seen here sometime after 1913. The ship left the Virgin Islands on December 10, 1941, headed for Portland, Maine, disappeared without a trace while en route. That's the Cyclops. I got into that last night. I could have read for an hour. Here they said it in a sentence. It disappeared without a trace. You knew that's what I was heading for, didn't you? It disappeared without a trace. Why do compasses point only true north in the Bermuda Triangle? And in the Devil's Sea off the coast of Japan? Why do eels migrate to the depths of the triangle? Why does seaweed of the Sargasso Sea only exist in the area of the triangle, growing on the surface of the sea while the ocean floor is 18,000 feet below? Why are so many hurricanes spawned in the Bermuda Triangle? Why do clairvoyants such as Edgar Cayce and M.B. Dykeshorn have so much to say about the triangle? The Bermuda Triangle has claimed more than 1,000 lives in the past 25 years as planes and ships have vanished, leaving no trace of bodies or wreckage. I think you're convinced of that, aren't you? I've picked a few of them and read them. 100 planes and ships have vanished in the Triangle, most of them since 1945. What What secrets does the sea in the triangle hold concerning these disappearances? What happened to Flight 19, the five Navy TBM Avengers that disappeared during a routine training mission from Fort Lauderdale Naval Air Station on December 5th, 1945? Don't you feel smart to know all about these things? They were the object of one of the most intensive ground-sea rescue operations ever conducted. No life rafts, oil slicks, or wreckage were ever located. And the Martin Mariner aircraft sent to rescue them also disappeared without a trace. You know that, don't you? You're smart. Other aircraft, including passenger planes, have vanished while receiving landing instructions. Almost as if they'd flown through a hole in the sky, according to a Naval Board of Inquiry. Large ships, such as the 19,000-ton USS Cyclops, with 309 people aboard, have vanished, while other ships and boats have been found drifting in the triangle with only a dog or a canary aboard as sole survivors. Now, I don't have to read you all that long story about Cyclops, do I? You're not interested in the Cyclops now, are you? Hello!
Hello!
Why, the compasses point only true north in the Bermuda Triangle. And in the Devil's Sea off the coast of Japan. Why do eels migrate to the depths of the triangle? Why does seaweed of the Sargasso Sea only exist in the area of the triangle, growing on the surface of the sea while the ocean floor is 18,000 feet below? Why are so many hurricanes spawned in the Bermuda Triangle? Why do clairvoyants like Edgar Casey preoccupy themselves with it? Now, as you well know, because we've been reading about it, I'm reading from the Bible in the Bermuda Triangle by George Johnson and Don Tanner. There's over 5,000 books written about this mystery. I'm going to have to buy a bigger house for my books. You know, some years ago, you raised money for Doc's Pad. Remember that? You pledged $20 million in one night, and I didn't even spend $1 million. And it's already too small. I made a mistake. You knew better than I did. Taking me years to figure out, you're really smart people. Now I'm going to have to go out and buy another one for my books. I'm going to have to do it. I mean, you realize I spent an hour and a half before I came here tonight hunting one book? In fact, I arrived here mad. I mean, I've taught on Atlantis three different times over the last year or so, and there's one book that I was saving for my zinger. And every time I've taught on it, it's misplaced. When them demons out of the Devil's Triangles come around and moved it around. Every single time. I never lose my temper and I seldom ever cuss. I say I sure came close tonight. Just seen my dogs. They hunkered around. They just saw me coming. They knew. They said, we didn't chew it up. I could tell by the look on their face. Every time I've taught on Atlantis, that book's taken a walk. I look everywhere. I even checked Gardner's bathroom to see if they'd tried to turn it into a catalog. I suspected everybody. And I didn't find it. A whole hour and a half. I was so disturbed it came second night in a row without my glasses. And had to send back to get them. Just thinking about it makes me mad. It was my zinger tonight. I'd have finished Atlantis tonight if I'd have had that book. It's just not the Lord's will. It's just not the Lord's will. That's it. Well, I got this one, the Bible and the Bermuda Triangle, the George Johnson and Dan Turner. Don Turner. The Bermuda Triangle has claimed more than 1,000 lives in the past 25 years. As planes and ships have vanished. I read that earlier, but did it register? More than 1,000, past 25 years. Leaving no trace of bodies or wreckage. 100 planes and ships have vanished in the triangle. Most of them since 1945. Because we've been keeping records about it. And according to many recent books, mysterious disappearances are continuing to occur despite modern technology's ability to track and find lost craft. Remember last night I was talking about Cyclops and didn't finish? Here's a picture of the sister ship. Headed for Portland, Maine, disappeared without a trace while en route. What secrets does the sea and the triangle hold concerning these disappearances? What happened to Flight 19? If people are really gifted, they'll say it in one or two sentences. And I took three nights. What happened to Flight 19, the five Navy TBM Avengers that disappeared during a routine training mission from Fort Lauderdale Naval Air Station on December 5, 1945? They were the object of one of the most intensive ground-sea rescue operations ever conducted. No life rafts, oil slicks, or wreckage were ever located. And the Martin Mariner aircraft sent to rescue them also disappeared, without a trace. Other aircraft, including passenger planes, have vanished while receiving landing instructions. Almost as if they had flown through a hole in the sky, according to the Naval Board of Inquiry. Large ships, such as the 19,000-ton USS Cyclops, with 309 people aboard, have vanished. One sentence. That does Cyclops in. I was getting bogged down on it last night. Who cares about the one-eyed captain? He's just one of 309. They're gone, that's what. You wonder what happened to the Cyclops? It's gone. Large ships such as the 19,000-ton USS Cyclops with 309 people aboard have vanished while other ships and boats have been found drifting in the triangle with only a dog or a canary aboard as sole survivors. Colonel Harvey Wolf, an authority on unsolved mysteries, says, normally, when an aircraft goes down, there will be some evidence left of how it met its fate. Not so with the more than 1,000 ships, aircraft, and small boats that have disappeared from the area known as the Bermuda Triangle. Even shark fishermen have been questioned. Sometimes when a ship is lost, part of a person is found in the shark. Come think of it, that makes sense. But the sharks in the triangle haven't provided any clues to the unusual disappearances. No one-eyed heads. Captain of the Cyclops is not in a whale's or a shark's belly. An American airplane flying from Puerto Rico to Miami was only 50 miles away from its destination when the pilot asked for landing instructions. The instructions were given and acknowledged, and the airplane, its crew and passengers disappeared, never to be heard from again. I was involved in the search for that plane, Wolf says. It was frustrating. There was nothing. No oil slick, no life jackets, nothing. Just blank ocean. Now, you understand why I'm doing this. The general idea is to settle in. Is strange things go on in and around the Bermuda Triangle. Too many of them. Point is, I want you foundered on the idea. just blank ocean. There's been a constant loss of ships, yachts, and people, but no one knows the answer. There's not been one bit of wreckage found. Wayne Meshagian, an assistant professor of physics at Longwood College, Farmville, Virginia, has studied another phenomenon in the triangle. Now, I told you this the other night. Some of you forgot it. For the past 3.5 years, Meshagian and his students have monitored 4 weather satellites launched by the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration. 2, NOAA-3 and NOAA-4, are still aloft at the date of this writing. 3 of the satellites we've monitored, Meshagian says, all have the same features. They send down both infrared and visible pictures of the Earth's weather patterns, but they are unable to send both down at once. Instead, they send a piece of infrared, then visible, then infrared, then visible, then infrared, and so forth. In order to delay the visible picture while the infrared is being sent down, it is temporarily stored on a magnetic loop in the satellite, Meshagian says. The machine records, then erases, records, erases. As best I can tell, when the satellite goes over the Bermuda Triangle area, something apparently is causing the visible picture to black out. I assume that whatever is doing this is causing the tape recorder to malfunction. This would mean we have something of a magnetic nature interfering with the tape. Controversy has developed since he delivered a lecture on his findings. I called a gentleman with NOAA, he says. He told me the government was responsible for this blackout. If this is so, then the government has a good deal of explaining to do. In years past, if anything went wrong with satellites, even a slight electrical malfunction, they were very prompt to contact all the people who worked on it. I've seen satellites black out when they go over the triangle, and when it comes back around the world, it's still blacked out. The deepest cataracts in the Atlantic Ocean run along the north and south of the Antilles, which comprise the islands of Cuba, Haiti, Dominican Republic, and Puerto Rico. Off San Juan, the southern tip of the triangle, the depth falls to 27,500 feet under the sea. I think I never lose a book, except that one that's the zinger. I've shown you this picture several times, but it's worth showing again. This is one of the best pictures of this that I've seen. By the way, oh, well, I can wait. I've shown you this before. This round hole in the ocean plunges suddenly down from the shallow 3 fathoms Bahama banks surrounding it to a depth which has not yet been firmly established. Depth recorders have not found bottom at 2,800 feet. That's a 50-foot boat right there. So you can multiply it 6 times for a football field and see that that's about 3 football fields wide and maybe 7 long. Just a hole in the bottom. And they've not completely established its depth, 2,800 feet down. Now, demons, we know, were assigned to the deep. Some of them are locked up in the abyss. But that's another subject. Off San Juan, the southern tip of the triangle, the depths fall to 27,500 feet under the sea, and if one was to bore a hole straight through the earth, parallel with the equator, he'd come within 200 miles of the Mariana Trench, the deepest gorge in the Pacific Ocean's depth, about 36,000 feet deep off the Isle of Guam. Recent books on the triangle state that many ships and planes have disappeared in the triangle's counterpart on the opposite side of the world called the Devil's Sea. That's another subject. We'll get on that when we talk about Lemuria. Mu. At the bottom of the Sargasso Sea are the Hatteras and Nereus abysmal plains. These flat beds of sedimentation lie at depths of 19,000 feet. In 1956, Drs. R. Malaise and P. Colby of the National Museum of Stockholm offered the opinion that skeletons of freshwater diatoms, which Dr. Colby had brought up in a sample core from a depth of 12,000 feet near the Atlantic Ridge, had originally been deposited in a freshwater lake, formerly on the surface of land now sunk to the bottom of the ocean. These freshwater diatoms were estimated at 10,000 to 12,000 years previous. In 1969, a research expedition from Duke University studied the sea bottom of the Caribbean and conducted dredging operations at a number of places on the Aves Ridge. On 50 occasions, granitic, that is acid igneous, rocks were brought to the surface. A distinguished oceanographer, Dr. Bruce Heason, in commenting on this matter, observed, up to now, geologists generally believe that light granitic or acid igneous rocks are confined to the continents and that the crust of the earth beneath the sea is composed of heavier dark-colored basaltic rock. Thus, the occurrence of light-colored granitic rocks may support an old theory that a continent formerly existed in the region of the Eastern Caribbean and that these rocks may represent the core of a subsided lost continent. Sargasso Sea. This is a Portuguese word for several species of gulf weed, Sargaco, Latin Sargassum. It is also in the name of a zone in the southwest region of the North Atlantic, just south of the main arm of the Gulf Stream. These island-like masses cover an area of 1.5 million square miles, or eight times the area of France. They form off the coast of Florida and are carried to the Sargasso Sea, or Sargasso Sea, by the swirling currents of the Gulf Stream. This residue accumulates over the Bermuda Triangle almost like debris that has surfaced from sunken remains. Columbus sailors felt, that's the guy that didn't discover America, Columbus. His sailors felt great fear when they saw the tropical grapes and believed they were close to land and sailing in shallow waters. Actually, at that point, they were 22,000 feet above the ocean floor. The Gulf Stream flows on the west of this stagnant area, and that's where the eels breed. The Canary and North Equatorial streams flow on the east and south. This leaves almost a deadly calm, which probably gave rise to the unnerving legend of the Sea of Lost Ships and Sea of Fear. There are legends dating back to 500 B.C. concerning the mariners who crossed the Sargasso Sea. One such legend by the Carthaginian admiral Himilco is as follows. No breeze drives the ship, so dead is the sluggish wind of the idle sea. There's much seaweed among the waves that holds back the ship like bushes. Sailor legends warn mariners before Columbus there was a great Atlantic surface graveyard containing ships of all ages of seafaring man. European and American eels spawn in the Bermuda Triangle. The adult European eels follow the waterways that empty into the Atlantic. There they unite and swim in a great show, progressing slowly for about 4 months. We've talked about them. The eels that, on the west side, have a short swim to the fresh waters. The female go up the freshwater streams, the males stay offshore. But on the east side, they follow the Gulf Stream as little tadpole-type eels all the way to Europe. The males stay offshore, the females a couple of years upstream, come back and mate, dive down 4,000 feet and swim, bucking the Gulf Stream all the way back to the Sargasso Sea to mate. Are they looking for a short trip to fresh water in Atlantis that used to be there? Why do compasses only point true north in the Bermuda Triangle? Erratic compasses are a characteristic phenomenon troubling those lost at sea. Warren and Betty Miller of East Lansing, Michigan know about this firsthand. They've flown the mysterious triangle many times in their twin-engine Beechcraft E-95. The Millers were on their way back to the United States from Guatemala when the plane's dial stopped functioning. Just stopped functioning dead. We still can't explain what happened, Mrs. Miller says. And there's an ungrateful person for you. I'd be delighted to not be able to explain it. Just to tell that I couldn't explain it. Good enough. We still can't explain what happened, Mrs. Miller says. Every other time we've left our refueling stop at Cozumel, we would see the Honduras coast for at least 20 minutes. Then after you can't see Honduras, you come in sight of Cuba. But all the time we were out there, we had no sight of the island. All we could see was a yellowish haze. My husband made a 30-degree turn, which we thought should have put us over Cuba. There was still only the yellow haze. At first, we thought it was the island or the shadow of a cloud down there on the ocean. I can't explain it. It was very eerie. There wasn't anything there. They were flying at 11,000 feet with a dead instrument panel. After many tries, the couple managed to pick up Havana on their shortwave, and shortly afterward, a signal from Florida which guided them to Key West. They say it wasn't the instruments, and I don't know what else it could have been, Miller says, except maybe the area. The instruments never acted up before, and they haven't acted up since we left the Devil's Triangle. Mrs. Miller has some theories about the triangle. I'm not interested in theories right now. It's page after page. Page after page of happenings like that. But that isn't the only place. Let's go to the other side. Forgotten Worlds by Robert Chereau. Well, he gets a little far out. But he has some reports about the Azores. You interested?
Yes, sir.
Before we get there, let's go to Edgar Casey. In 1940, the clairvoyant Edgar Casey would go to sleep and talk. And people would then write down what he said, predicted the discovery of submerged walls of Bimini in the Bahamas and gave information about Atlantis that came to him directly from the beyond, I guess. Part of what he predicted was that Atlantis would rise from the sea, first appearing in the waters off Bimini. This writer says the Atlantis affair had such a foretaste of authenticity because the then master of Villeneuve, head of the French Rosicrucians, published the same prophecy about the same time as Edgar Casey. So he had an imperious desire to do a little exploring in the Canaries, Madeira, and the Azores. Meanwhile, the French diver, Rybakov, began to notice about this time impressive underwater geometric masses near the west coast of Bimini. In collaboration with an American professor, he took some convincing aerial photographs, geometrical masses indicating ancient walls. Now, for more than 30 years, thousands of underwater fishermen had been frequenting Bimini, a little island in the Bahamas about 50 miles from Miami, and diving in the same area where Rybakov found the walls, but none of them had ever noticed those strange lines of rocks, about 250 feet long, 20 feet below the surface. Only when they had been photographed from the air were they seen to be composed of huge blocks 16 foot square. They rise less than 2 feet above the sea bottom, the size of the sunken parts not yet known. A timid estimate has been advanced by some archaeologists that the Bimini walls are said to date from 6,000 or 7,000 years ago. Well, the Atlantic was then well above that level. You have to go 10, 12,000 years to find the Atlantic below that level. So who's building walls underwater? Well, then Edgar Casey saw three cataclysms strike Atlantis. Casey said the Atlanteans had discovered the secret of concentrating solar energy in a stone with magnetic properties that enabled it to emit more energy than it received. This energy, which we would now call a product of atomic disintegration, was distributed for use in industry, transportation, even housekeeping. The great atomic stone was placed inside a dome with sliding panels, according to Casey, like that of an astronomical observatory. Its invisible radiation acted on receiving stones, which supplied motive power for air, land, and sea vehicles. The great stone was a cylindrical crystal with many facets. Its top... Oh, you're not interested in that. Let's leave that there for a minute. Now, not only do you find strange things happening in... We'll go back to Casey. I'm going to teach you on demonology. I mean, you know... By the way, if you don't want to wait on me... What I got down here? I got all kinds of little books. What did I bring tonight? What kind of goodies? They did it to me again. They didn't bring all the books out of the car. I can tell that right now. They do it to me every time. They do it to me every single time. Never fail. What's this book? Oh, there it is. Sorry, fellas. The Stones of Atlantis. Here's the J formation seen from the air in and around Bimini. This is by Dr. David Zink, The Stones of Atlantis. It's on the field exploration around Bimini. The quest begins. And, you know, people lament that since TV came along, people don't read. Baloney. Just read it to them. Why get upset? Here's a current that's produced by the dike at the east site that's referred to. Underwater dike. This is a detailed drawing of the J formation, the way the stones are laid out. Now he ties it in with Stonehenge. Stones begin to speak now. And here he's observing the difference between beach rock and the roadside stones. I'm trying to tell you, I don't have to read all this. They have arrow stones. There's a 14-stone, 5-stone pattern they've located. I mean, you know, some people just talk about these things and go right by. There's been considerable research since 1968 on these underground. Here's the Bimini roadside all laid out underneath. Interesting. The quest continues. They then tie in those ancient maps. You know about Piri Reis' map that shows Antarctica without snow over it. And they get on pyramids. It's an interesting book. You say, what are you doing this to me for? Go buy the book. That's why I want you to read it. Dr. David Zink, The Stones of Atlantis. If you want to study probably the most complete... Here's the Exodus from Atlantis, the study of where the people went. The Pleiades theory. Now we're getting down to it. That's the one I'm going to say. We'll talk about the Pleiades. Now, the Pleiades bringing us right to the pyramid in Egypt. But that's another subject. Now, demonology. Oh, I can't get on demonology. Let's go to the Azores. Am I boring you?
No, sir.
The mystery of the 35th parallel. Now we'll go on the other side. Two portions of the globe are under the influence of awesome forces. The Azores and the segment of the Western Atlantic called the Bermuda Triangle. I'm reading from Forgotten Worlds by Robert Chereau. If we believe tradition, the Azores, 800 miles west of Portugal, on the other side of the Atlantic, were the cultural center of the antediluvian world. By the way, I showed you this the other night. We've been encountering pyramids in the Bermuda Triangle. Bathymetric profile or echogram of portion of the undersea Azores Plateau. That's where we are, is the Azores Plateau. Protuberances on left, one of which almost reaches the 200 fathoms line. Now here's your 200 fathoms line. It drops off from the plateau clear down below 400 fathoms. These are echogram, and the speed with which it's done distorts the horizontal dimension. Protuberance on the left, like this one right here, that shoots up to 200 fathoms from the plateau, could indicate a mound, pyramid, or tower of man-made construction because of its regularity. According to speed or drift of the sounding equipment, the highest of these structures would probably be more pyramidal than tower-like in shape. Most likely, that's a pyramid. That's Atlantis, the Eighth Continent, Charles Berlitz. And I really don't sell all these books. I warn you. If we believe tradition, the Azores, 800 miles west of Portugal, were the cultural center of the antediluvian world. If Atlantis existed, that's where the mountain of God was. The mountain reached up above the expanse of firmament, through the waters above, and those sons of God that came down and got involved with the women of this earth, as Genesis said, probably came right down that mountain. Garden of Eden was there. And the descendants of Seth, being warned of a cataclysm to come, as Josephus says, built two monuments, one of brick and one of stone. One of stone, Josephus says, still in Egypt to this day. Land of Sirius, he calls it. Worshippers of the dog star. Now, I believe Enoch built it. Cheops dating is a forgery. That cartouche in the passages above the king's chamber is Colonel Vice's contribution to fame an absolute forgery put in those passageways as his only way to make his mark and justify the expense, and his forger ended up owning one of the hotels and around the pyramid. Now, I'll prove that to you later. Herodotus said it was built in the time of Cheops. Colonel Vice made his reputation by forging those hieroglyphics, the only markings in the pyramid. What a stupid place to put them, in those passages above the king's chamber. But the forgery becomes obvious, and I'll show you how. And ever after, people jumped on it, not paying much attention to the questions of the first verifiers. And it said it was built in the reign of Cheops. Horse feathers. Old Enoch built it. That's why the Egyptians call it the Pillar of Enoch. And he wasn't living. The Bible simply says that Enoch walked and talked with God and was not, for God took him. Where? The apocryphal book says he's with the watcher somewhere, and Methuselah knew where he was. And when Lamech had Noah's son scared the liver out of him, I think he thought one of those sons of God was in the woodpile. And he said to Methuselah, you go find Enoch. You know where he's at. He's with the watchers, and ask him about this kid I got. It scares me. I believe God sent Enoch and gave him these watchers to help him build that pyramid. And as I've said several times, like all construction crews on their weekends off, they got involved. And they went to Egypt and Mesopotamia and built those monuments, if Atlantis existed. And then Atlantis sinks. If we believe tradition, the Azores, 800 miles west of Portugal, were the cultural center of the Andaluvian world. This was the heart of happy Atlantis. This was where she had built her capital of glittering orichalcum, the mineral nobody's figured out what it is. It was so precious in Atlantis. Poseidonis, according to Plato, that is. Actually, according to Solon, who told the story of Plato. Poseidonis, the capital. Then came the deluge, and since then the place has been the scene of strange and sometimes tragic events. Here is a summary of some of the elements that make up the mystery of the Azores. One, it is here that the Phantom Island of San Brandon periodically appears. Two, this is the birthplace of the anticyclones that determine the weather of Europe. Three, 500 miles west of the Azores, you have a phenomenon like the eels that search for the fresh water. Petrels fly in circles until the strength is exhausted. Birds leaving the continent of Europe by an instinct flying west until exhausted, 500 miles west of the Azores, fly in circles and drop in the sea. What are they looking for? A land that was once there? On the island of San Miguel in the eastern Azores, water boils in craters that still spew out lava. In 1954, an island emerged from the ocean, became part of Pyle Island. And it is here, finally, that something happens, like what happens in the Bermuda Triangle, only different. The appetite's different. Ships and planes and people disappear in the Bermuda Triangle. Something different happens at the 35th parallel in the Azores. It is here, finally, that in In November 1872, the brigantine Mary Celeste left New York for Genoa with a crew of 12 aboard. On December 2nd, it was seen off the coast of Europe, apparently proceeding normally on its way. On December 4th, it was sighted with a British ship, Dia Gracia. The Mary Celeste was sailing briskly before the wind, but... them butts will get you. Every time. See, there's a difference here from the Bermuda Triangle. Big difference. Whatever's doing this has got a different appetite. You interested?
Yeah.
You look interested to me. No, it's interested to me. But the captain, the Mary Celeste, was sailing briskly before the wind. But the captain of the Dia Gracia was surprised to blank, 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 blank. Moving closer, the British crewman saw that. That. But and I left hanging that and but. And if you want me to deal with that but, you talk to me now. Now, with all my friends and neighbors, let's continue. In November 9th, we're getting back to that but. In November 1872. I mean, I've left a few butts dangling the last week. All over the Bermuda Triangle, now we're putting a few down in the Azores. And with all them butts hanging out there, who wouldn't want to listen to me 24 hours a day? There must be a dozen that I stopped on a butt and didn't finish. At least a dozen. We'll get back to them. We'll handle this one right now. In November 1872. It's an old one. In November 1872. The brigantine, Mary Celeste, left New York for Genoa with a crew of 12 aboard. On December 2nd, it was seen off the coast of Europe, apparently proceeding normally on its way. Somebody asked me where I got my glasses. I ain't going to tell you until tomorrow night. You can get them most of the cities I go in. Not these. I mean, these came from Switzerland. I mean, those hard-working Swiss believe everything ought to be a torture chamber. I mean, they're pinchers, all right. My Lord. I wonder if anybody ever told anybody in Switzerland that you can put soft things for the nose part. Look at that. I look like you've got a converted juice harp for a nose piece. On November 1872, the brigantine Mary Celeste left New York for Genoa with a crew of 12 aboard. Got that?
Sure.
On December 2nd, it was seen off the coast of Europe, apparently proceeding normally on its way. On December 4th, it was sighted by the British ship Dia Gracia. The Mary Celeste was sailing briskly before the wind, but... Now, you understand that there's a rim around the Atlantic that's got strange things happening. The Bermuda and the Azores about 35th parallel. Now, this is where we were, wasn't it? That's what I thought. But... The Mary Celeste was sailing briskly before the... You know, in the Azores, it's different than Bermuda. It's strange, but different. The appetite's different. Now, in the Bermuda Triangle, ships and planes and people disappear. I think I missed something. Well, to continue, there's several things go on here every night. The camera can't pick it all up. The Mary Celeste was sailing briskly before the wind, but... That's what I said.